So, welcome to Alpine City Council Planning Commission meeting. And we are here with Ethan Allen, who it's his first time here, a new member of the Planning Commission, which we want to welcome him. And then John Anderson.
McKay.
It's my job. Every person who has this job has to say your name wrong. John McKay. Myself, Jane Greiner. And what should I call you? Alan McDonald. And
I've been called worse.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just start with that. And from staff, we have Jed Muehlstein, the city engineer, and Austin Roy, the city planner, and Marla Fox. And we will start with an opening prayer by John McKay.
Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be gathered together this evening in the capacity of a Alpine City Planning Commission. Grateful for the circumstances in which we find ourselves in this beautiful city, and pray that we might be able to conduct the business that's before us in a way that would be pleasing to thee, serve the needs of our community. Grateful for all that thou hast given us, and we pray for these things now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. And I'll lead the Pledge of Allegiance, and if you'll please stand and repeat the pledge with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Yes, I do. Okay, so the first thing on the agenda is public comment. So if anyone would like to make comment on an item that is not on the agenda, right now is open time for you to do so. And you can come to the mic and comment. Does anyone have comments? Okay. We'll move on to the first action item then, which is a public hearing on short-term rentals. So, Austin, you can introduce that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and introduce this. So tonight we're holding a public hearing on short-term rentals. This has been to the Planning Commission a couple times. And we've crafted an ordinance that would prohibit short-term rentals in Alpine City. And that's something, just it would apply to hotels, motels, any type of short-term rental, Airbnb. All of those are included in that, and so this would be just adding some language into our ordinance that would clearly make those prohibited within the boundaries of the city. So we're having a public hearing tonight, and this has been noticed so that we can receive public comment.
Okay, great. So with that, we'll open the public hearing, and if anyone would like to make comment on this, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address, and we would love to hear anything you have to say.
My name is Marnie Rainier, and I live at 270 Fort Creek Drive. The last few public meetings I've been to have been packed, so it's very unique to have.
It's too cold.
Hello.
Yeah, really.
So I'm just curious. Well, I have a few questions, and then I have a few ideas, and I'm not quite sure how this works, because you'll suggest to the city council your opinion, but they can still do what they want.
That's
so
correct.
I just wanted to voice this, that just recently my husband and I decided to create an apartment in the home, just like it fits under the Alpine City Ordinance, for looking forward to having an empty nest, being able to use our home for some income to do things, especially a couple of hopefully 18-month volunteer service kind of opportunities. And we were excited about the opportunity to have it both be a short-term rental and a long-term rental. The short-term rental, the appeal for that is we still have a lot of, well, our married children live far away. When they visit, it'd be nice to be able to create that space, keep that space available for them. So it was a nice thing thinking about this being an Airbnb perhaps, or however we would do it. And I was surprised that this was just being, and we should have done our research maybe before even starting this project. But I was curious, and can you tell me why they're being prohibited?
We can talk about the discussion about that. So first of all, some couple of the comments really quickly is it's already against Alpine City's policy to rent both sides, both halves of your home. So if you rent a home, you have to live in part of it. So it's not possible to rent long-term half your home and short-term the other half.
Exactly right.
So that's against the policy. And then the other reason, so that was the one thing. And then as far as the short-term rentals go, most of the discussion has centered around a couple of different things. One, that people buying their home don't plan to have different families coming in to a home near them on a regular basis, someone different every time. And secondly, we have a moderate income housing plan, which uses those mother-in-law apartments as a major part of our moderate income housing plan, that provides some lower income housing for the city. And so if those all become short-term rentals, that takes away our moderate income housing plan. Do you guys have any other comments you want to add to that? I mean, there's a lot of discussion. We've discussed this, like he said, multiple times, but those are a couple of the key points.
Yeah, I think in some past hearings we have that were fairly well attended.
Yeah.
There were some objections raised by Alpine City residents, which also included the fact that there was a major lack of off-street parking for some of these short-term Airbnbs, and that the streets were crowded, people were parking in other people's driveways, and there was a real parking issue. Also, many complaints that there was just so many strangers rotating through these particular homes, and that people would be on the neighbor's trampolines, playing frisbee on the neighbor's yards, coming and going, parties at all hours of the night. These are especially with the non-owner-occupied residences, that these were otherwise streets full of single-family homes and primary residence of people, and they had no idea who was coming or going at any given time in some of these VRBO and Airbnb type of short-term rentals. So there were a lot of concerns expressed by Alpine City residents about some of those factors.
So did you say, and those were mostly the non-owner, so the owner wasn't home and they were renting the whole house?
Even if they were home, it was just, you know, a rotation of people through the homes near them where they have their children and where people have purchased their home, assuming that they're, I mean, this is a bedroom community, so they're not expecting a hotel-like environment near them.
The unfortunate experience we've had is it the most offensive instances have been where homes were claimed to have primary or owner occupants in the home, yet they were still having these problems.
There's no way to enforce that, too.
Well, okay. Well, I glanced through the ordinance before, you know, this is just kind of taking it out, and it seemed like the city had said pretty clearly about parking, and I'm not sure that you can't really vet your who's coming and going, but the park, I mean, it seemed like there were enough like restrictions on even doing it that it should be a pretty safe place for people to.
Thank you.
Well, so then the only point I wanted to make in addition, I guess, is just that I wish that we would have the opportunity to do that, is that we do expand our horizons by allowing different people into our worlds, and they're not all going to do things that are going to be offensive. And we had an incident in a local area, within my neighborhood, where an Airbnb brought in a French couple. I speak French, and we were able to have an awesome opportunity to just share with them and become friends. And I don't know, I was excited, like, wow, I don't have to leave Alpine to have these cultural experiences. And I know you can't decide who comes in and out, but I just think it's a beautiful community, and I'd rather be open, sharing, and welcoming than restricting, and this feels very restrictive.
Well, thank you for your opinion.
I did have one quick question for you. Maybe I just didn't understand. You mentioned that you wanted to be able to have your children from out of state possibly come in and stay in your home, or I don't know, short-term, even long-term. I'm not sure that anything in at least the proposed statute would.
Absolutely.
No, what I'm saying is,
I didn't understand that.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that if I could do an Airbnb, I can limit what days it's available, leaving it open for when my kids visit. Our home's not huge, and so I need that space when our kids visit. That's what I'm saying. That's what,
okay.
Like if a renter for 6 months, I can't have my kids visit during that 6 months. We'll used to stay in that part of the house.
And I would just reiterate, too, one of the elements that I think, at least as a planning commission, we really took to heart, and Jane mentioned it, was that we had several people, several residents indicate that if our ordinance were to open up Alpine City for short-term rentals, that current apartments that they had, they would generate more revenue as an Airbnb mm-hmm. or VRBO, that they would cease the long-term rentals and just go with short-term rentals, and thereby a lot of young families or people looking to get a start who want to live here in Alpine would lose the opportunity for that type of rental.
All right.
And numerous residents had indicated that if that were the case, they would cease long-term renting in favor of short-term renting. That was a concern for us.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for expressing your opinion. And luckily tonight, you're the only one. Normally, we have to do like a three-minute time limit. You get to say whatever you wanted. Thanks. Yeah. Does anyone else have comment that you want to make on the this? We're in the public hearing of the short-term rental. Anybody else? Okay. So we'll close the public hearing and move into the discussion part of the short-term rental ordinance amendment. Do you want to comment, Austin, on the actual ordinance changes now?
Yeah, so the way that this is being prohibited is we're doing two things. One, we're adding a definition of what is a short-term rental, and so this is our definition that we have here. Temporary lodging or place of stay that is rented, including but not limited to hotels, motels, bed and breakfast, boarding houses, etc., for a period of 30 consecutive days or less. And so that's how we've defined it. We've modified that definition based on feedback from the Planning Commission mm-hmm. last time, adding in language that talks about rentals and lodging.
Question, Austin, where was yeah. that some standard language that you, I don't want to say, well, plagiarized, sort of has a connotation.
Borrowed.
I borrowed a majority of that.
From another source?
Mm-hmm. A majority of that language was borrowed from the Utah State Tax Commission. So they have a definition of short-term rental, and so I just took...
See if that was kind of battle-tested language.
Yeah, it looks like what I've seen in other cities as well, which, obviously people can play the system if they want to and things like that with the 30 days, but that's the standard, I think. So any discussion on the wording or questions that you guys would like to discuss?
But were there other language modifications or just that?
So there's just that, and then in every zone in the city, we've just basically have a clause that says short-term rentals are prohibited within this zone. So
can you remind us what is the enforcement provision or the penalty provision for violation of the mm-hmm. ordinance?
Yeah, so it would just fall under kind of our standard. So we have a new administrative hearing process, so we can issue a fine. Currently, our fine is $50 per day. If they have multiple violations, that could be more. And so that's something we can cite them, and then they can appeal that to our appeal authority hearing officer that we have.
Is that something that we could? Is that fine standard across everything, or could this particular situation have its separate fine structure?
That's kind of it's just our standard for
violating
have one
any
for just any code infraction. And then we do have a separate one, which is for clean streets, which is much more, because that has to deal with SWEP standards, it's a little bit heavier fine, which is $300.
Yeah.
But those are the two.
This isn't a very big
those are really
fine.
The only two types of fines.
Is merely posting an Alpine resident, an Alpine City residence on a site like Airbnb or VRBO a cause for a penalty or citation?
No, it's not. So the state is actually, and when it was the last legislative session, 2019, that they created a new law that we cannot use anything, any web posting or anything like that to.
So we can't add that to the wording that your home cannot be posted or anything like that as well?
Free to advertise. And we can't
just so bizarre. You can advertise, but you can't actually get a customer.
So how would a violation be investigated?
So right now, the way that our code enforcement program, the way it's set up, is mostly based on complaints. So Mm-hmm. We would have to deal with it on a complaint basis. We got multiple complaints on one residence, that would...
How about even just one?
So we have a party that's doing a really good job of managing their neighbors. We're not going to have a problem with them.
Yeah, I mean, we just don't have the manpower to go after everybody, and it's really hard to find have evidence unless we have witnesses coming forward saying, hey, I have a problem, you know, there's an issue. So that's just kind of...
There wouldn't be any change needed if we decided as a city that we had some. We were just going to print out a list of the all homes advertised on Airbnb in Alpine City and send notice to them or something like that. Is that possible? We have so many ordinances.
I think that would get us into some.
Just to send a notification area. Out them to say, hey, just so you know, I noticed you're advertising here. Just so you know, that's not.
I think when we first heard this issue, there was some concern from city administration that we really just had no enforcement mechanism. Mm-hmm. And I think now that we do have an enforcement mechanism,
right.
Assuming as John indicated,
if there are complaints, we can deal with them.
At this point, we have a mechanism to enforce a legitimate.
Mm-hmm. I would add that if we are serious about not wanting this, that maybe more than a $50 fine would be warranted. Any of the things, if we...
$50 per day.
So what would that be? If someone complains, it's $50 for what? Because someone saw them there that day? You know what I'm saying? I don't see how that will be applied.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say because we haven't really put it into practice yet.
You could prove they're doing it.
I think if
we had enough proof, and we can say from this date on, we know that you've been doing it, and we've been charging you $50 per day.
Uh-huh.
Since that
person
day.
Reporting the complaints, document the number of days.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, you know, when they have a $600 fine, they're probably going to want to appeal that. And so then it runs.
Second violation is we send the bulldozers.
No, we're just going to send you, Ellen. At that point, we need a bouncer.
Okay. That's a legitimate. Cause I have a friend who rents a house, mm-hmm. and he rents it for $200 or $300 a day, so a $50 fine mm-hmm. would not be a very serious.
Exactly. Yeah. I wonder if that is that something we can revisit separately from this.
To be honest, so our enforcement program is new, and so you know $50 is where we kind of started. We're trying to that number is not finalized. We're trying to fine tune it, but we don't want to go too high that every time we find someone, they appeal it.
Right.
But at the same time, we don't want it to be so little that they're just
that it's
saying,
like nobody
oh, it's a
cares.
Cost of doing business. So
exactly. Yeah. So can we bring that as an issue for another meeting to look at that fine structure, or would that go straight to City Council?
Fine structure is actually a City Council issue.
Okay.
So because that's on the consolidated fee schedule.
Okay.
But that's not to say in your recommendation on this item you can't say you recommend the City Council to look at raising that fee.
I personally like that idea to, as we make this motion, if we do make a motion to recommend it, that we perhaps add to that the recommendation that the City Council review an appropriate fine that would actually encourage compliance to this issue. So... I would just add to, you know, the one person who came on this. We did have, like it was mentioned before, several other people comment, and there's a lot of separate issues at hand. I mean, your situation is a valid, good reason. Just having to balance the needs and wants of everyone in the community as well as protect the city and people's investment in their homes and everything is kind of a fine balance. And it sounds like we've added to every zone the restriction that they can't have short-term rental, which appears to me that if we wanted to, for example, we could say in the commercial zone, we could remove that restriction at some point if we wanted to. So I like the idea that this is set up and then put over all the different zones. So that does allow some flexibility in the future if we wanted to say, you know, if someone's moving into a commercial zone, then they might expect more commercial business next to their house. But, okay, does anybody have a motion that they'd like to make?
I'll do a motion. A motion that we recommend to the City Council that Ordinance 2020-2 be approved as proposed with the further recommendation that the city council take a look at the penalty structure and determine whether they feel that the amounts proposed are adequate.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Alan and a second by John. Is there any discussion or comments you'd like to make on the motion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so that passes with a majority of 4. And we'll move on to the next. Any questions on that, Marla, as far as getting it? Okay. So the next item on the agenda is a public hearing on FEMA updates. And so, Austin or Jed, are you going to introduce this one? Okay, go ahead.
All right. So you have the ordinance in front of you, an ordinance to amend our definition of floodplain lands. So we were recently notified by the state through FEMA that they are going to adopt a new map for Alpine City. And it's kind of funny. I'm looking at the map. There's actually no changes other than the name. So... But they're requiring us to update our ordinance to reference the new map when it does come out. So the language we're proposing is actually an auto-adoption type of language. We're not going to mention the specific map name anymore. It's a lot easier just to say essentially what the ordinance, what we put in here, which says we will adopt the most current flood insurance rate map, rather than specifying its name. At the same time, the state has and FEMA has encouraged agencies to stop using the terms 100-year when you're talking about floods. If you could scroll down and show them the language we're changing here. So, yeah, right. Next one.
That's funny, because 1% is 1 in 100. So instead of saying 100-year, we're going to say 1%, huh?
Well, and the reason is because, like, technically, it's all along it's been the 1% annual chance, but
sure.
People don't really understand that as easily as they understand the term 100-year. But
right.
Technically, you have a 1% chance every year
right.
that you'll get the 100-year storm. And when you look at historic data, we actually get the 100-year storm about every 30 years. I don't know why they don't call it the 30-year storm.
It's the climate's changing.
Yeah. Anyway, so we want to change that, and then we want to change the language to just simply reference the most recent adopted map
for
our area. And so that's all there is.
Okay.
That's all of this language.
Didn't we, like, have a new map come out like last year?
It was 2016.
Oh, okay. So I swear we just did that. That's how time goes by. 2016, and I thought it was last year. Okay. All right. So with that introduction, then we will open the public hearing. If anybody would like to comment on this, then please come to the microphone. State your name and address. Does anybody have comment? Okay. Then we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. And do we have any more discussion that's needed from Jed or Austin on this? Okay. So it's open for discussion then among the Planning Commission members, if you have any comment. Okay, if not, then if somebody has a motion that they want to make.
I'll make a motion that we recommend an amendment to Ordinance 2020-3. Is that right? No. Article 3.12.040.4 of the Alpine City Development Code pertaining to floodplain lands and the sensitive land ordinance as proposed by staff to City Council.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a second by Ethan. Okay, any discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? None. Okay. So that's all for voting aye. All right. So we can move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the road grade exception request by Brookside Meadows Subdivision. So who will be introducing this?
I will.
Okay. Jed?
Okay, so Brookside Meadows, we have talked about this development over the past couple months as it's come through for concept and preliminary approval. At this time, they do have preliminary approval. At preliminary, we discussed road grades. Preliminary is when we get into all the nitty-gritty design details of roads and utilities. And at preliminary, we talked about road grades. Our ordinance requires 3%, a maximum road grade of 3% at intersections. And the developer talked specifically about this intersection. You could zoom in on that just a little bit, Austin. And we're going to go, we're actually going to go back and forth between this page and then page 69, too. So, in the developer's work putting forth the effort to design this intersection, they have requested an exception to our ordinance to use a 5% grade through this intersection rather than 3%. They listed their reasonings for requesting 5%, and those reasonings were it would reduce, and actually go to page 69 now. We're there.
Oh, sorry.
Go back, just zoom in on that same intersection. So this is the 3% design, which was approved at preliminary. Pull it down just a little bit more. Perfect. Their reasonings for wanting the 5%, to use 5% grades through this intersection were to, one, reduce retaining wall heights. In this design, this is designed off 3%. These lines indicate the roadway cut. So this would be the extent of the roadway of the cut in the land to be able to put the road in. And I know you guys haven't looked at these plans as much as I have, so I'll explain things, but this darker purple line here indicates a retaining wall that goes all the way along this westerly edge of Soldier Circle. It extends up towards the end of that cul-de-sac. And then down here also there's a section of retaining walls that are tiered, so there's two retaining walls here on that section of road. So number one, they are requesting the exception because it would reduce the height of retaining walls. They say it would improve the safety and sight distances at the intersection by a reduction of the cut slope heights. It would reduce the depths of the cuts on the uphill lots. And then they also stated that 5% grades are common among other surrounding cities. So I'm going to kind of let's talk about each of those four issues. I assume you've already read the report, so I'll try to paraphrase here rather than just read it. Okay, so this is the 3% design. And Austin, if you could go back two pages now. On the 5% design, you will notice up here that there is no retaining walls. The roadway cut comes up here into this lot and it dives down and it ends right about where that property line is. So with their 5% design, they do, at least here, it shows that they're eliminating the need for retaining walls along Soldier Circle. They still did show, they actually showed three walls here, but I will say that this 5% design was a conceptual design. There was some other road grade issues in there that just weren't ironed out yet. But so in other words, this is a conceptual 5% design. It wasn't ironed out.
So you don't know for sure if it's going to eliminate all those walls?
These ones, I think you will still need retaining walls here. Up here, I can't say for sure that they will be completely gone, but they will be greatly reduced. So that's in terms of the heights of the retaining walls, I do agree with their statement the retaining walls will be greatly reduced, especially along Soldier Circle.
Do you have any numbers to how reduced?
I don't, because this is all I've received is this concept design. And like I say, the concept design shows no walls up here at all. Like I say, there was a couple little grade issues in here that I would need to work with them with. But I am confident we will have either none or very small retaining walls along that section.
Is there any way we can know that if we're going from a 6-foot retaining wall to a 2-foot retaining wall, or a 6-foot retaining wall to a 4-foot retaining wall? Or
I don't have that information, but that's a good question. The engineer is here. They may have done more work since.
It is a little hard to judge how beneficial this is if we don't have any numbers to it. Okay.
If they have more information, we'll let him talk when I'm done going through
it. Okay, thank you.
Their next point was it would improve the safety and sight distances at the intersection by a reduction of the cut slope heights. So when we look at both of these designs, where I'm interested in sight distances is right here in the sight triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And I put this, design into AutoCAD, and I looked at these grades. And yes, the overall cut slope height is much reduced, but when you're looking at just the sight triangle, we talked in the last meeting how there's, if you look closely, these yellow lines are 2-foot contours and the blues are actually 10.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, if you count the lines there, you got 2, 4, 6. The sight triangle is approximately right here.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the sight triangle, you're actually going to have this exact same amount of cut slope in the sight triangle on either design.
Okay.
The difference is the overall height of the cut slope itself. When I'm driving up to an intersection, I'm not thinking, oh, the sight triangle starts here. This is where I can start looking for cars. I'm looking for cars well ahead of the sight triangle. Perfect example, the bank sign.
Mm-hmm.
The bank sign is outside of the sight triangle. Yet
can't look ahead to it.
Yeah, yet we're receiving complaint after complaint that people can't see at that intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're using more than just the sight triangle to try to see oncoming traffic.
Especially with children, too.
So what I'm saying here is though the sight distances aren't improved just inside that sight triangle, they are improved on a bigger picture. Because
mm-hmm.
people will be looking in more than just the sight triangle area.
And is it just improved just up Soldier Creek? Soldier Circle, or is it also improved on Woodby Woodlands Drive?
It would work both ways. Because drivers coming down this way, if a car was flying out of this cul-de-sac, they would also be looking up there for any kind of safety hazard coming out of there.
And the same, do you have a measurement on how different the cut is?
We do right here. So, this, like I say, I did not have time to draw the sight triangle in here, but I can tell you it's right where my red pointer is right there. If Austin, you'll go to the next. So you can see my pointer was right here on the
mm-hmm.
previous page. That cut goes that much further up the hill. And on, like, specifically Lot 9,
mm-hmm.
the cut slope ended somewhere around the building pad edge.
Mm-hmm.
And on this 3% design, it's pushing, you know, a third to a halfway back into these lots.
And do you have the angle of that slope? Like, I know it's going back farther, but
it's a 3-to-1 cut slope.
It's a 3-to-1, okay.
That is our road standard.
Okay, yes. Okay, thank you.
Can I just make sure I understand this, and if you're... If the motorist is approaching, you know, kind of northeast up Whitby Woodlands, looking to continue on up Soldier Circle, that sight triangle as you approach mm-hmm. is going to be, if this exception were granted, that there's going to be a better sight triangle, there's going to be better visibility as to traffic that may be coming down Soldier Circle, and then that the reverse is true
for a vehicle coming down Soldier Circle, looking off to the right, if they're planning on continuing down Whitby Woodlands, because for me this is you know, to me I'm not terribly persuaded by, you know, fewer retaining walls, you know, up further Soldier Circle or further down Whitby Woodlands. I guess it's more of a public safety issue if the site triangle is enhanced with this exception.
Right. And it would be.
Okay.
Their next point just says they'd reduce the depths of the cuts on the uphill lots. I think we've already discussed that and shown that. On this plan, these cuts are fairly deep into the lot.
Does that serve any advantage, though, to the city? It's just nice for their lot.
To the city, no, but it is nice for these people to be able to get a driveway into their lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Their last statement was they said that 5% grades are common among other surrounding cities. I did spend a fair amount of time, and it's surprising how difficult it is to find ordinances in other cities' codes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to give ourselves a pat on the back, because ours is fine. Draper City is 5%. Park City is 2%. They were the most restrictive one I found.
Mm-hmm.
They're
in the mountains.
They also included language in there that required grading within the site triangles, like they require retaining walls, so that area is flat, which I thought was interesting. Linden City's 3%, and then Cedar Hills, Pleasant Grove, Provo, Mapleton, all of those were actually unspecified. They didn't even mention it. So what do we do when we don't have it specified? We divert to AASHTO. AASHTO is the American Association of State Highway Officials. That is the standard by which all cities develop their road grade ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a very large chapter on just intersections. Austin, could you go to two or three more pages? I think it's page 71. So this is a specific section I pulled from AASHTO that I wanted to talk about. So in terms of intersection grades, AASHTO, I'm just going to read this. It says, the gradients of intersection roads shall be as flat as practical on those sections that are to be used for storage of stopped vehicles, sometimes referred to as storage platforms. It goes on to talk about how they talk about 3% quite a bit, but right down there at the bottom it talks about where conditions make such designs too expensive, grades should not exceed about 6% with a corresponding adjustment in specific geometric design elements. I wanted to talk about this storage of stopped vehicles. Anytime you have a road that has a large volume of traffic, you're going to have vehicles that need to be stored at the intersection while they're waiting to get onto the next road. And therefore, you need space for those vehicles to sit on a flat surface where other vehicles won't skid and slide into them if it's snowy or slippery.
Mm-hmm.
In this situation, we're talking about an intersection that's off of a cul-de-sac. It's a residential street. It's going to have a very low volume of traffic. I do not anticipate us needing any storage space at this intersection. And because I'm saying I don't anticipate any need for storage of stopped vehicles, I would be okay with going up to a higher percent grade where we don't anticipate vehicles being stopped at that intersection. I also looked at several of the intersections around our city. As you know, a large portion of our city was built prior to our ordinance being put in place. All of our new subdivisions have 3% intersections, but I would say two-thirds of the city doesn't. And I'm not saying that just to say that because the rest of the city has 5% or even 10%, we've got 10% grades at some of our intersections. I'm not saying that because we have it out there, it's okay just to go build all the rest of them steep. I'm only saying that because we all drive these roads. We have no problem getting through these intersections, and nobody even notices. So at the last meeting we talked about, I know Bryce specifically said, well, I don't want to give just this one development.
Create liability.
Yeah, I don't want to give just this one development an exception and create a liability. I would be more in favor of an ordinance change. And to sum things up here, I'm actually for giving the developer the exception because, one, it does serve the best interest of the city in reducing the retaining wall heights, which those are going to be our maintenance nightmare down the road. But, two, we're not going to need storage for stopped vehicles. So I'm okay with doing that, but in terms of if we wanted to go the route of an ordinance change, I would be okay allowing residential intersections to go up to 5%, but I would not be okay doing our arterial or collector roads up to 5%. I would leave those at 3% due to the storage of stopped vehicles issue.
Would you explain what you mean to me by we will be maintaining the retaining walls? Aren't they part of the development?
They are something used to build our roads. Anytime a development goes in and retaining walls are required to build our roads, those retaining walls become the city's.
Okay.
There's a certain developer that put in a whole lot of retaining walls in Fort Canyon. They're all the cities now. So anytime we can reduce the need for retaining walls, we're definitely a proponent of that.
Okay. Anything else?
Let me make sure I didn't miss anything here. I guess just to kind of sum things up, like our ordinance, like the rule book for the Planning Commission and the City Council, I did put it here in my report. It states basically when in the best interest of the city, the best interest of the city would be served. It says when in the opinion of the city planner and city engineer, the best interest of the city would not be served by the literal enforcement of the design or improvement standards. And then it goes on to say, this is how you do it. The city planner and engineer submit a recommendation. The Planning Commission reviews it and recommends something to the City Council. But it talks about the best interest of the city. The next paragraph, it also talks about generally accepted planning and engineering. So our findings for granting an exception would be that, one, it does promote the best interest of the city by reducing the retaining wall heights. There will be less height of cut slopes at the intersection, so sight distances outside the triangle will be better. The intersection is not expected to have a high volume of traffic and is therefore not anticipated to need a large flat area to store vehicles. The request does fall within generally accepted planning and engineering. That's based on the existing intersection grades of other surrounding cities. And the request does not vary the zone or use or lot size of the development. And actually, there was one other thing I wanted to mention. We previously talked about the requirement of the developer to not use any kind of landscaping or obstruction within the site triangle greater than 1 foot tall. We talked about that at preliminary. That was redlined on their plans. They did show it on their updated construction plans, but that is a red line for their final plat approval to put that on their final plat as well. So,
okay.
That's all I've got.
Okay. Well, with that introduction then, thanks, Jed. What kind of questions does everybody have for discussion? Do you have any? And we also have the developer here, so that if we have any questions, we can ask as well. Yeah. Do you have anything you'd like to add? Go ahead and come on up. And do you need him to state his name? Or no, state your name.
Yes, okay. For the record.
Greg Wilding with Wilding Engineering, 14721 South Heritage Crest Way in Bluffdale. And I'm here representing David Gifford, who's the owner and developer of the project. I don't know that I've got anything to add. That was incredibly thorough. Thank you, Jed.
Mm-hmm. Is Mr. Gifford down in Mexico again?
I think this time he's in Hawaii.
Oh, gosh. We feel really bad for him right now while it's 8 degrees outside.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, things are not going to go well.
They're not. Really? They're not. He didn't even offer any of us.
Some chocolate-dipped macadamia nuts at least.
You know, I could add a couple of things that perhaps you had some questions on while Jed was looking at this. Would you mind looking at, either one of those plans that show some of the grading? While he's pulling that up, let me just make one comment. We've done some work for the city in the past. We've done some road design for you folks and helped you do some road improvements. But we haven't for several years, so my engineers are kind of new into your city for a little while, and these two guys have been incredible. I just want you to know how great it's been working with your staff. I'm sure it's frustrating to them sometimes because as we learn a new code, and I don't think you hear that enough. You have some very good folks working here in the city right now. A couple things I wanted to point out is on the new contour lines, so the blue and orange contours are the proposed grading, and they're actually 1 foot and 5 foot intervals, so it's a little lower than you were saying, but having said that, I talked to my client about that in detail, and you know, if we go ahead and get this approved tonight, I said, hey, we just need to agree to grade that back into the lots and deal with it in the back of the lots with perhaps some retaining there and grade that site triangle flat so there's not an issue. So we certainly have room in those lots to do that a little bit, and that's what we intend to do. So your site triangle should be a non-issue.
Okay.
And then, of course, we will add the note to our plat about the landscaping. You talked quite a bit about the reduction of the wall height. I don't have it specific because this is a little bit different than that first grading plan. Mm-hmm. But my engineer told me that he thought that it would cut the height of it in half. And I believe it was maybe a 6 or 7 footer, and he said that height was going to be cut in half by doing that.
Okay. I'm not seeing the walls on this. We're talking about the walls down below.
The 5%. So
yeah,
here's the 3% plan.
I saw them on the 3% plan, but where are they on the 5% plan?
You want me to go?
So there are some right here.
Right.
But then if you come up to the end of the cul-de-sac, they're right there.
Right. Okay. And so then on the 5% plan, do you show where you still expect them then?
Because that was preliminary, I don't think we'd even laid those out or determined the heights of it yet. What my engineer did is he did a calculation just looking at that 3% grade and analyzing what the grades out in the street would be on the next one. That's how he could tell me it should cut them in half.
Okay. So we're talking about halving the height, but it will still be there, and the city still will have a retaining wall.
Up here in Soldier Circle, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you think it will completely eliminate them down below?
No, that's the one I'm saying. On this design, it doesn't even show them, so I was hoping it would completely eliminate them up there.
So we certainly will try. You know, any percentage that we can get would be good. Looking at that Ashtoe code that you had noted, that is, if it went to 6%, perhaps it would go away. I don't think it's going to go away with the 5% in our quick analysis. Of course, my engineer is also telling me not to push much more than 5 or 6% because it is a prudent intersection design. It makes some of our handicap ramps and some of the other design that we do difficult, besides just a potential safety issue. So, you know, 5 or 6%. If you did 6%, it's possible.
I don't want to do 6 just because I've never even ever heard of any city having more than five.
Okay. I suspect that 5% is going to probably still have a retaining wall there, but...
So that's the only issue I have with this is I feel like we don't have all the information. So we have a retaining wall shown clearly on one, and we're guessing if there will be retaining walls, or we think for sure there will be. We don't know the height.
I'm telling you, there will be a retaining wall on the second one.
I appreciate that.
We did enough of an analysis to know there will be one up here.
Right.
There will still be one here. Jed is correct. I believe that. I'm fairly certain. So what my engineer told me is that height is cut in half.
So it's cut in half. And so we will have half the height, but we will still have a retaining wall to maintain. And then the other advantage is they're going to grade the site triangle, but the farther, the extended site triangle, as we call it, the approaching site triangle will improve. And it will be an improvement to the lot owner for ease of a driveway for those three lots.
Correct.
Other discussion. I understand where Bryce is coming from on constant exceptions, but, we want to be reasonable as well. So do you guys have any other questions or feelings about, as far as the variation in the slope in an intersection, it's a safety issue. That's the whole point, right? Is the slope, the more of a slope, the more possibility of winter safety, really. So...
I didn't feel like we were talking about a very big change. 2% mm-hmm. change is not very large.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought we cited pretty clear reason.
Okay.
That would be just.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have commentary that you want on that? So.
Great.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions for these guys? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, my only hesitation would be that, like I said, making recommendations without really full information. But either way, whatever we decide on is going to move forward to City Council, just to be clear. I want to make sure everybody knows that before, right. Especially when you're new. I know that was very confusing to me. I felt like, well, if I want this to go forward to City Council, do I have to give an aye for it? But this is a recommendation, and so you can, give your opinion, and then it will move forward to City Council.
One quick point I'd like to make is if you do approve an exception for this, the next item on the agenda will have to come back at the next meeting because they're going to have to go back and redo their plans, which with the 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So that would come back. If it doesn't have an exception, then...
Then they want to move forward to the next step.
Then we have to consider the final plan at 3%.
Okay.
So
that's fine. That doesn't matter either way. There's
if,
no.
If we did approve it, would the City Council see it with the full grade information on there?
We could put that in the request.
Yeah, I was going to say that depends on how quick these guys could work. Honestly, in my opinion, I don't think a 5% design needs to come back for approval. I think that could be approved at the engineering level. Because all we're talking is a couple road grades. We're not talking change of use or zone or anything dealing with the PRD. I think the next agenda item could be approved just by adding another.
We could just treat it like a red line.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
And honestly, things in regards to grading are common red lines.
Okay. If the recommendation on E is going to the City Council, and we don't know whether they will agree or disagree, how can we do the next item until they have either agreed to the exception or not?
So depending on how you vote on item E, mm-hmm. item F would then make a recommendation based on either you would either assume that it had a 3% or assume that it had a 5% slope and make a recommendation
that clause in front of it.
Yeah.
Okay, just because I'm saying...
We can still move forward with item F, even...
Okay.
Either way.
Okay, so it, whether we have the slope or we won't have the slope, item F will not change. It will just be the red line for city council as well.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, does anybody have any more questions or would like to make a recommendation?
Sweetie, can you throw the recommended motion language up?
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite right, is it? Aren't we recommending approval?
Yes.
They want us to do that motion.
Yeah, after he's just going to read through this, and then yes, if somebody would like to make a motion either for or against recommendation, so
yeah,
we are looking at
that verbiage a little bit.
So once again, we're just making a recommendation to the city council, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then was there something additional besides A through E?
No, that'd be on the next item.
Tell which one I'm looking at.
Okay.
On my
so this model motion right here is E, right?
Looking at E's model motion, not F's.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
Because that's
I'll
design.
Go ahead and make a motion that as a planning commission we recommend approval to the city council of the requested exception. The grading from 3% to 5%, and that recommendation is based on the following: that A, the 5% design would reduce retaining walls; B, that the site distance outside the site triangle will be better due to less cut slopes; C, that due to low traffic volume, the need for a vehicular storage area is not anticipated; D, the request follows generally accepted planning and engineering, and E, the request does not vary the zone, use, or lot size of the development.
Okay, we have a motion by Alan. Do we have a second?
Second motion.
Okay. Any more discussion on that? Okay. In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And opposed? None. So we'll make recommendation to the city council on that. Moving on to the next point, just with a commentary that I wish we had more information before we had to make decisions. I feel like we're somewhat hoping, I guess you will bring stuff back if the findings as you work with them are not what you've represented to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let's move into the next item on the agenda, which is the major subdivision final plat of this same Brookside Meadow subdivision. So whoever would like to introduce that?
All right, yeah, I'll go ahead and introduce this. So this is the Brookside Meadows. Again, to remind, just for the purpose of the record, it's a subdivision on 13.306 acres, 15 lots, ranging in size from 0.31 acres to 0.63 acres. This plan has not, from when we looked at it, a preliminary standpoint, it has not changed drastically as far as zoning requirements are concerned. All those requirements that were met at the preliminary stage are still met here in the final stage. As far as the rest of the stuff, engineering and other things, most of the comments that were discussed at preliminary have been corrected, and the drawings with a few minor red lines that just have been being worked on. We anticipate that all of that stuff that was highlighted last time on the preliminary will be corrected for the final. Of course, they're going to go in and update that with the 5% road grades in the intersection. Let's see if there's anything else I'm missing here. ultimately, staff would recommend that the final plat be approved with this with the series of conditions that the developer remove existing buildings or include the removal of existing buildings in the bond, that they meet the water policy, that they provide escrow funds for a roadway preservation coat, that they provide a cost estimate for development, and that they address red lines on the plat and plans. And so, and then also the developer address landscaping and open style fence requirements on the retaining wall plans prior to construction of said items. So those are kind of all of our requirements. Most of those are standard things with the open style fence and retaining walls kind of being particular to this development.
And I'll jump in here too and just say, based on our previous agenda item and the 5% thing, if we were to modify this motion, a way to make that work would, you could say, address red lines on the plat and plans, and then you could go on to say, including the 5% roadway design exception if approved by City Council. I think that would cover everything.
Landscaping and open style fencing requirements on the retaining wall plans.
Correct.
What do you mean by that?
We talked about that at preliminary.
I probably wasn't here. Sorry.
Oh, our retaining wall ordinance requires, when we have a tiered retaining wall system right by the roadway, it requires landscaping in between the tiers.
Right.
So that's what that's talking about. And then the open style fence requirement, anytime we're right up against somebody's property, our retaining wall ordinance requires a fence to be on top of it. Right. And the reason we're saying open style is because the retaining wall is too close to the property line to have a solid fence. Okay. So it has to be open
style. Who maintains that landscaping between those?
That is to be... Oh, I can't remember the exact verbiage. It's not the city, though.
Okay.
It's the home.
We don't need to indicate that, though.
No.
Okay, that's already in the...
Yeah, it's in the ordinance.
Okay, so. I just want to make sure of that. I know that was a discussion at one point of the landscaping in between, and then...
Kind of like a park strip?
Yeah. Who is going to maintain it? Kind of like a park strip, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, do you guys have any questions or points of discussion? Okay. Somebody wants to make a motion then?
I'll make a motion. I move that we approve or make a recommendation to approve City Council the Brookside.
Stop. Is this an approval or a recommendation for approval?
Recommend.
Okay, because the wording in here says approve. So, sorry, I just didn't want you to waste your... Go ahead, start one more time. I won't interrupt you.
I move that we recommend approval of the Brookside Meadows final plan with the following conditions. Prior to recording of the plat, the developers to remove existing buildings or include the removal of existing buildings in the bond, meet the water policy, provide escrow funds for a roadway preservation coat, provide a cost estimate for the development, address the red lines on the plat and plans, including the 5% exception recommended to City Council if approved. The developers also to address landscaping and open style fence requirements on the retaining walls prior to construction of said items.
Okay, we have a motion by John. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, second by Alan. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, all those for the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Any against the motion? Okay. We're good. That passes with all four. So that's our final action item. And do we have any communications?
So, first of all, welcome, Ethan. Good to have you on the committee.
Yeah.
Let's see. Other things. So last time in communications, we did discuss talking about that, the sign at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So the staff is working with the bank to come up with some kind of solution there, but also it's caused us to rethink our ordinance with regards to signs.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not in the site triangle, we're going to be re-looking at that and possibly defining how a monument sign can be in the business commercial zone.
Okay.
The site triangle. So that's, you can expect that to be coming.
Perfect.
In the future meeting. And then also,
good point of discussion.
We're working with them on a solution to increase visibility at that intersection.
Okay.
Whether that's to move the sign or
change style to a more open.
To be determined.
Okay. There has been quite a public outcry.
Yes. Yeah,
I did notice last time there was a at city council there was a petition sitting out there for people to sign. When I came to,
I haven't seen the petition yet, but I believe it. I've received probably 5 to 10 phone calls, and then
it's a significant change to people. So yeah, and with the school zone, I think it's just amplified by the number of kids that are in that area all the time, and the fact that the building is also somewhat of an obstruction because it's so much closer to the road. You know how we let the exception. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
The school zone, that's definitely for sure. And the last communication that I have for the Planning Commission is I've approached the Trail Committee about regarding e-bikes. They're going to discuss that amongst themselves and prepare a report that they will present to us at the February 18th meeting. So the next meeting.
Good.
I read the report on the cell tower.
Mm-hmm.
Was that scheduled to come back to us? It looked like it was.
The city council in more or less has said, oh, I'm not talking to you, Siri. City council has said that it's going to be, they want it here at City Hall, so back here in this park here. It will be coming back. Verizon will have to prepare a formal site plan. And so we're going to be looking at, like, the design of it, what that's going
to
look like.
Don't have to worry about where it's
at
or anything. It was quite a lovely public hearing.
Yeah,
so it'll be coming back.
It was a hard decision. I could see. Anyway. So it will be coming back, but we won't have to decide where to place it. Just we can talk about recommendations for how it looks, how it's set against the building, the location.
The landscape around it, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You guys will get to decide on a lot of that stuff.
I noticed those water tower designs. I think that's more obstruction in view than just a slim pole. Have you noticed the one on top of Suncrest? I always wondered what that thing was.
I've actually seen a couple of them, and though, yes, they do obstruct your view more.
Right.
I but feel they, like the tower itself kind of blends in.
Yeah, it feels like more of a...
thing on top of Suncrest?
It blends in with the building.
It's not a water tower? I mean, that's a cell tower?
Right up to
the... I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it. So if you go over Suncrest, you look up there, they have that exact water tower design. And I have been wondering every time I drive by, why do they have a water tower on the top of a hill?
It was for their water pressure.
Like gravity.
Instead of a water tank, they put it to that water tower. And
yeah, exactly. It's totally a cell phone. There's a cell phone inside of it. The problem with it is they can only fit one in. They can't, like, branch it off to have three.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? Anyway. Okay. Well, good. Well, we'll watch for that to come back.
In the meeting, they said we think we can only do one, but the Verizon guy went back and checked, and they actually can do more than...
Oh, okay, because that one guy did recommend they should check and see.
Height, they would either do two or three.
Now, do we have to choose between those, or were we already directed by City Council for the style?
They did not make a final decision on the style.
Okay.
But I kind of got the impression they're leaning towards the water tower.
They were, but I thought it wasn't even an option. So now that we know that that's an option. So when they come back, are they going to present a proposed design, or are they going to come show us the three designs and say, what do you guys think?
They'll have a proposed design. So part of City Council's motion was for them to work out a lot of the details with staff and then nail down some kind of proposal and then bring that forward.
Okay. Cause, so the three choices were like the slim design, which is just really thin, or the water tower, or the pine tree. Exactly. So, okay. All right. That's good. Anything else on communication?
That's all I have.
Okay. So next meeting is February 18th.
Correct, yes.
So 2 weeks from now, and I'm interested in the e-bike discussion, too. So, okay, next item on the agenda is the approval of the Planning Commission minutes. So does anybody have any changes to the minutes?
Can we do that without Sylvia?
Sylvia, I don't know if we can.
Now she has one job.
I know.
That's to do the minutes. Where is she?
I don't know where she is. She recommends me and then leaves. Okay. Anybody have a motion?
I motion to approve.
Okay. You have a second.
Second.
I'm going to add.
Go ahead, Alan. Got it.
Seconded it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have approval for the recommendation of the approval of the minutes from January 21st. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any against approval? No. We're good. Okay. And I just can't handle not doing this. Adjourn. How was that? How was that? Just like...